sending. We continue with our discussion on the nature of the ibadah of the malaika. So we began by talking about the creation of malaika. Then we spoke about the nature of the malaika. We spoke about the ranks among the malaika. In our last discussion, we spoke about the worship and ibadah of the malaika. We looked at the Quranic ayat that said that the primary form of ibadah of the malaika is to make tasbih, is to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do that without feeling weary or tired or without any fatigue, unlike human beings. And part of the worship of the malaika, or the ibadah of the malaika, is that they are delegated to actually make dua for the believers. So in our last lesson, we spoke about the hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if a person makes wudu and goes to sleep, the malaika make dua for him every time he turns around. And this is out of the mercy of Allah that he has appointed malaika to make dua for us. Can we imagine? One is an ordinary believer making dua, then you have a pious person making dua, then you have the Kutub and the Abdal who make dua. But what about the dua of an angel? Will it ever go unanswered if an angel makes dua for you? So there are many, many hadith that speak about the dua or actions that attract the dua of the angels. We cannot go through all of them, but we'll go through a few of them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, da'watul mar'il muslim li akhihi bi dhahril ghaib, that the dua of a Muslim for his brother in his absence. The dua of a Muslim for his brother in his absence, mustajaba, is answered. And in the ra'sihi malakun muwakkal, that when you making dua and in the absence of your brother, he doesn't know, and you making dua for someone secretly unknown to him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, inda ra'sihi malakun muwakkal, that Allah appoints an angel above his head, who's stationed above his head. And as often as he makes dua for his brother or for his sister in their absence, the angel says, Ameen walaka bimithlin, that Ameen, that Allah accept the dua that this person is making for the person in his absence, and Allah give for you is a dua similar to what you're asking for someone in their absence. So if you're asking for health of your brother in his absence, the angels are asking for health for you. And this is one way of attracting the dua of angels, and that is by making dua for people in their absence when they don't know about it. Allah appoints an angel specifically to say Ameen to your dua and say Walaka bimithlin, that may you have the same that you're asking for your brother. So the more you make dua for your brothers or sisters in their absence, the more you attract the dua of the malaika. Another hadith states that مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ يُصْبِحُ الْعِبَادُ فِيهِ إِلَّا مَلَكَانِ يَنْزِلَانِ, that every single morning, two angels descend. They come down to the earth. And فَيَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them says, اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِي مُنْفِكًا خَلَفًا, that, O Allah, give the one who spends, the one who giving charity, give him give him more, substitute for him whatever charity he gives. So each time we give whatever form of charity, it's not based on the quantity, it is based on your sincerity. So if you do, even if it's a small charity, and you give that charity with ikhlas, with sincerity, an angel makes dua and says, Allah, substitute for him whatever he's given out. So that's a form of attracting the barakah of Allah. And the same hadith says, وَيَقُولُ الْآخَرُ, and the other angel says, اللَّهُمَّ أَعْتِي مُمْسِكًا تَلَفًا, that Allah, the one who holds, refuses to give zakah, to give, you know, bring destruction to his wealth. So here, the malaika is appointed to actually make dua for those who give charity, where they ask Allah to grant the donor or the giver abundance, because he is giving in the path of Allah. A third instance where the malaika actually make dua for a person is ma min rajulin, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ma min rajulin ya'udu maridan mumsiyan illa kharaja ma'ahu sab'una alfa malakin yastaghfiruna lahu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that if a man visits a sick person, if you visit a sick person in the evening, 70,000 angels will join him seeking forgiveness from Allah for him till the morning. So you're attracting a dua of 70,000 angels by visiting a sick person. If you do it in the morning, in the evening, the angels continue making dua till the morning. And the hadith continues, and it says, and if a person visits a sick person in the morning, the angels will continue making dua, 70,000 angels will continue making dua for him till the evening. So just by visiting, you know, our deen is so beautiful that even visiting a sick person is an act of ibadah. It's not in vain, you know, if you go visit a sick person, it's not only for that person, it's for you. What visiting a sick person attracts the dua of istighfar from 70,000 angels. In another hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, inna sa'ima tusalli alayhi al-malaika, that a fasting person, the malaika keep making dua for him when people eat in his presence. So if you are fasting and you are among people that are not fasting, non-Muslims, or outside Ramadan, Muslims who are not fasting and you are fasting, the malaika keep making dua for you because of your willpower, the ability to resist the temptation when everyone is eating and you are fasting. So this is another means of attracting the dua of the angels when you're fasting and people around you are not fasting. Another instance where the malaika make dua for a person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahabi says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to approach one side of the rows, the safs in salah. He used to go to the end and ensure that the chest and shoulders are in line to make the safs absolutely straight. And then he would say, and this we should take lesson from, he would say to sit in the rear rows of the masjid whilst there is a gap in the front. So you come into the masjid, there's enough place in the first saf, but you choose to sit at the back. He says to sit in the rear rows of a masjid whilst a gap in the front row is available is like seeing an unclaimed bag of treasure and not taking it. So there's, you know, a treasure of gold lying in front of you, and you ignore it and you walk past. So this hadith encourages us to fill ourselves, or if we come and if there's place in front, we should rather sit in front instead of the back. And then he said, do not fall out of line when you're making your safs. Do not fall out of line, otherwise your hearts will differ. And his angels pray for specifically for those in the first saf. So coming to Salah and sitting in the first saf, or reading Salah in the first saf, attracts a special dua from the angels for us.